I love Parker, Arizona, because it's where I learned how to wakeboard and wake surf. Thanks, Chris O.
I went out there when I was 16. We drove out there on a whim, and we've been going out there ever since.
I love being able to water ski first thing in the morning and kayak 3 to 4 hours per day.
Parker, my second home since 1989.
Parker has hands down the best sunsets in the world.
Every year we come out, do the two float, vacation there as much as possible.
All about the river, man.
From the shores of the Colorado River on the beautiful Parker Strip, you're listening to the Parker Livecast.
No, I was talking about his gout.
Oh.
Well, let's not call it gout at this point.
I mean, honestly, Josh's alleged
that's
gout.
That's a hypothesis.
I don't think you actually have gout yet, do you?
Maybe
you,
I don't know, maybe it's not.
Look. Is this recording?
This is recording.
I'm 23 years old.
Yes.
23?
There's no way that I should have gout.
All right, my friends. Welcome to Livecast, the one-year anniversary edition. Did you know that, Josh?
It's 1 year.
Yeah, because this last Labor Day in 2014 was our first episode, episode
How
number
about
one.
That?
Mm. Yeah.
It's been a year. Mm.
It has been a year. A year of nonsense. Mm.
1 year later and 7 episodes.
Yeah. So I'm John Wright. Josh Savino joins us. And Joaquin Vences joins us right at the spot where a few weeks ago that boat went down.
Oh, and we I all saw watched. That. I remember. Whose boat was that? Yeah. Does anybody know?
Yes, I do know, and I've been talking to the guy, and we'll have a little update maybe on that at some point. But
anyway,
we're at Roadrunner, and this is pretty cool. It's nighttime. There's nothing around. We decided to be up here because it was Labor Day this weekend, and we figure a lot of people are going to be here this weekend, including you, Josh, right?
Yes, I'll be up here all weekend. It's the final holiday weekend of the summer.
Yes.
The Parker Strip, but it's by... I mean, the weather's going to be good for another 2 months to come to the river. But yeah, Labor Day weekend's always huge here at Roadrunner.
It's funny because, you know, they say Labor Day's like the end of the summer, right?
Yeah.
Like here in Parker?
For a lot of places. Not Parker, though.
Right. I'm saying, like, it's endless summer. It just goes on and on.
It is. It's an endless summer, man. Friday night, Saturday, Sunday. I'll be here. So come on by.
Although those of us who are local actually enjoy, like, when the weather cools off a little bit, we will have that coming up here soon. And I guess 70-degree lows and stuff for forecast and all that. So that'll be good. I figured we could start by, like, talking about a couple of things that have been happening in the local news lately, since the last time we did a live cast. One of the things is this house fire that was last week. I don't know if you saw some of the photos. Yeah, the lady who owns it is a lady from Alamo, Texas, who had been coming here forever, and she's very, very nice, and she talked to me about it. It was kids that lit the fire. They didn't...
Really?
They were playing around with a lighter or matches or something like that.
I did that when I was a kid.
I did it. I still do it. I'm not gonna lie.
Mr. San Joaquin caused the fire.
Yes. Were you the 12-year-old that did?
Well, you know.
We're a bunch of pyros over here.
So it was a group of 12-year-old kids.
Yeah, allegedly so. Well, actually, even more than allegedly, honestly.
They admitted to it, right?
Yeah, there was a lady that came forward that was like one of the girls' moms. And
how do you handle
I think it was a kid. I don't know whether it was a girl or a boy. So I would imagine a boy.
Are they going to like press charges on the kids? Or are they?
No, I don't think so. I think this is going to be chalked up to, listen, sometimes kids need more of an education about like fire and shit like that.
Kids will be kids.
Right.
Arson.
And kids need smoking.
The one thing that Buckskin said, I interviewed Mike Bird last week on the air, and he said that essentially when he got up there, he underestimated at first the quote-unquote high fuel load of the canyon. Like he said, there's a lot of like,
you know, shrubbery.
Dried
up shrubbery.
Brushed tumbleweeds, all kind of stuff in there.
Price
in that
trash.
Canyon. Right. And so like it just came up the side of that hill and completely, those guys are leaving, huh?
Yeah, it's going to get loud.
Oh, good. Let's hear a boat.
This is
the Parker area after all.
This is a Sun Trekker pontoon boat. Starting.
Looks a little older, but still nice.
Now leaving the bar.
Now leaving the old bar.
Oh no, he's not started yet.
He's
happy
just floating.
Sailing, good sir.
Yeah. Okay.
There you go.
Oh,
working.
Yep, there you go.
All right.
All good. Legal. Legal and ready to rock.
Yeah. They don't tap the day.
We got a 500 or 600 horsepower engine on that?
Yeah.
All right.
If you count. When I have gas,
yeah. Nice.
Have a good evening.
You too.
You too. Good night. See this one?
He's just going to float home, I think. He's not even going to start that up.
Right.
Oh, here he goes.
There he goes. You can't even hear it.
All that. You know, we're going to have to dub in an actual.
Yeah, we'll get the sound of like an eliminator.
Oh, look at this thing, dude. I think it's actually one of those paddle boats. Look at that thing.
I love that, though.
It's pretty sharp, though.
Anyways, back to what you were saying, the fire.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so, yeah, a lot of fuel load, and it just came right up and whacked into the old house there, and that was the end of that. Who was that? Do you guys know her?
It's Erica. What up, Erica?
What up?
How you doing, beautiful? Good.
He called you beautiful. Did you hear that?
Yes.
That was very nice, Josh.
And I meant every word of it.
He meant every syllable. Well, anyway, so the lady wrote me, and I'll quote, "Parker Live was a blessing, enabled me to view from afar." She was, she lives in Alamo, Texas, so she's in Alamo at the time.
Okay.
She says, "particularly after only hearing rumors of my property being ablaze." Can you imagine, you're sitting like, this is a vacation house for her, and like, she's had it forever, you know, this is like her old homestead in Parker, and she comes by, and like, she would describe to me how like, friends and family would come and go, and on their travels, they would all stop here, and like, it was really cool, it was a cool thing to have. So, you imagine you hear that from afar, that it's ablaze. Then she, you know, jumps on Parker Live, and she sees all our photos and stuff like that. She says, "neighbors being unable to answer my frantic phone calls." She loves it here. So that's the whole thing, and so it's a little sad, but she says that she's grateful that she didn't, you know, get burned while she was in it or something.
I'm wondering how many homes here in this area are actually second, third, or fourth homes for people. It's a very popular thing to do for our area.
There's a lot of homes like that.
You know?
A lot.
And to be hundreds of miles away and hear about this.
Right.
You know, that's got to be disheartening.
Well, and a lot of our listeners can relate because they are in that exact same position. They're people who come here part-time. Famous Dave, for example, we're sitting... Joaquin and I were sitting with Famous Dave Judy the other night at the home of a mutual friend, and it was interesting because Dave was, like, talking about how, you know, he comes out to the river all the time and you know, he loves Parker Live. He loves sitting and watching all the stuff from L.A. where he's at. And saw this thing about the fire, so he's asking about it and all kinds of stuff, but...
Isn't it funny that people who live out there that come here sit in their workspace or whatever or on their computer like just wishing they can be here?
By the way, did anyone know, any of you guys know how Beanpot Hill got its name?
No.
Yeah, it used to be a cafe at the bottom of the hill.
Bingo!
Yeah.
Dude, very good. Did you know that, Joshua?
No.
I only learned this from this lady in Alamo, Texas. She says... down at the hill, the bottom of Beanpot Hill, there was a cafe called the Beanpot Cafe.
Yep.
And that's how Beanpot Hill got its name. So the cafe's gone, but everyone still calls it Beanpot Hill.
Interesting. Yeah. There you go.
After Beanpot the cafe. Hill. Isn't it pretty cool?
You didn't know that, Joshua?
No. I made up a fake story on Facebook once while I was talking. I forget what it was, but I remember doing it.
That sounds like you.
Yeah.
Beanpot Cafe.
Beanpot Cafe.
The boat that sank right at this spot was... later stolen.
Do we know what happened?
Yeah, so here's what happens. So the guys right out here, they get into trouble. A wake comes over the bow of the boat. They start to go down. Everyone panics. They jump off and stuff. All the cushions from the boat start to float, you know, and people start to try to grab the boat, bring it in. So somehow they bring it close to this dock. Finally, they're able to drag it into the beach. And it's completely flooded, right? I mean, it's completely sunk, and it's going to need some work and stuff like that. But he did say it happened when the engine was off, and, you know, so hopefully he could have salvaged or whatever, right? So it goes up on this beach. It stays there all day Saturday, and he's thinking, okay, Sunday we're going to leave, go back to L.A. or whatever. I think he lives in South Beach. He's going to take it on the trailer and bring it home, right? And then he'll work on it or whatever, get someone to work on it. But evidently, someone had been watching what was going on, and someone had been watching it sit here all day Saturday. And sometime on Saturday night, overnight, between Saturday and Sunday, someone grabs the trailer from the parking lot here, throws the boat onto it, and drives it away. And so it gets stolen. So he comes.
Are you serious?
He comes down Sunday morning. The boat is gone. So he reports it to the police. It takes a little bit. We talk to the sheriff's office about it. And people on Parker Live are smelling a rat because they're like, this seems like insurance fraud. Like, why would you want this boat that's sunk?
Yes.
Like, this guy's just trying to get some money from the insurance.
But there's a detail to that.
Well, he says there is no insurance. So if he's telling the truth about that, there is no insurance fraud possible.
So where's the fraud, exactly?
But number two, I said to him, I got, you know, this seems a little fishy even to me. Like, I'm trying to report on this. I didn't want to be taken in and look foolish on Parker Live.
Yeah.
But, you know, I talked to the guy, and the more I talked to him, the more I thought, okay, you know, I'll just run this and we'll see what happens. Sheriff's office starts to talk to me about it, and they say, look, we actually think that this guy might be, you know, legit and fine. And few days or a week later or something, they find it on the California side, out in the desert, stripped.
Like, really?
People had taken the top off it and stuff, and like a whole bunch of other stuff. So now they're looking for the suspects. And the last I heard, there are suspects. And they're looking into a few leads on that case. Yeah. So we could have an arrest at some point.
And now you know the rest of the story.
Yeah.
Wow.
So crazy story though.
It is.
It's kind of messed up and funny at the same time.
As if the original sinking of a boat wasn't exciting enough.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And, you know, I oscillated between, like, feeling bad for the guy and feeling like, is this guy, I don't know. But I talked to him, and he seemed a decent enough guy. And for the record, he even had a reason why he didn't have insurance. He says, I just bought the boat. And he says, and actually, I've not carried insurance on some of my boats because I figured that the cost of replacing some of the parts and stuff would actually be easier. He had some sort of reason for not having insurance. But anyway.
Well, I hope it ends well for him.
Me too. And you know what else wasn't insured? That house that went up in flames.
Man, it's just all kinds of bad news going on, bro.
Well, I think the moral to this story is...
get insurance?
Sure. Why would you not insure? Because your house doesn't burn down more than it does. That's why people don't do it.
For the Texas lady, her rationale was... her carrier wouldn't insure a property of that type. She had two mobile homes that were older that were put together, and the insurance company was like, no.
Yeah. That can go up in flames, they said.
It's pretty much a fire hazard, they said.
So they showed them.
Congratulations. That insurance company's like, dodged a bullet there. This is why we do not insure those things. Man, that's still sad, though. So what happens there? If you have an... because that is an investment. That's an investment worth...
it is an investment.
Who knows how many thousands of dollars.
I mean, I think about my house, like...
oh, yeah, you better have insurance on yours.
You better... like, you wouldn't want to lose it, you know what I mean?
Do you have insurance on your house? You better.
Yeah, I think so.
Does it cover everything in your house?
I don't know what it covers.
Mine covers up to... I can't remember how much of stuff in my house.
People like should generally have insurance.
Because, you know, I got all my stuff in there. All my computer stuff, all my audio stuff. So it's all covered.
Your TV?
I don't care about the TV. I think I was buying a TV, but, like, there's, you know, my Macs.
Right. So you have insurance?
Oh, yeah.
Good.
Do you?
Me?
Oh, you don't have a house.
No, I live in a van.
down by the river.
Down by the river. No, I have renter's insurance.
Okay, well, let's see. There you go.
Yeah, you need to have it.
No, I don't.
Yeah, it's... you know what, though?
I learned
the last month...
I don't know what I have.
...to get insurance or pay for a warranty.
Oh, right.
Because my car was gone for 3 weeks, right? And I had a rental for
what
3 weeks.
What is that noise? Oh, it's you chewing ice?
Yeah.
Oh, that's okay.
And I only paid $100 for everything.
That's why you have gout.
So, always get insurance and always get a warranty.
So, you had a warranty.
Yeah, an extended warranty.
Extended warranty.
That I always hated paying every month.
Oh, yeah.
I hated it. It's like, babe, I don't want to pay for this. Like, no, but
it was
like
$90 a month, actually?
About that, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and they're like, well, you know, Aaron was always like, no, we have to kill him. Like, oh, that's an extra $90 I can use for, I don't know, whatever.
Right.
More beer. I don't know. But sure enough,
it saved your ass.
It literally did.
What were the repair costs?
3 weeks of the car rental, which was $40, I think $40, $45 a day.
Okay, well, you made the money back just right there.
Right,
just right there.
Plus a new fuel pump, new gas tank, and a new fuel line.
Jeez, man, what happened to your car?
Something happened.
It died. The fuel pump just went...
he was in Hemet, and it died.
Because I was in Hemet.
Oh, that's right. And the fuel pump is probably
died.
Inside the fuel tank.
Yeah, they said the fuel pump just died. And then somehow the gas tank was warped.
Jeez, warped.
So all that got replaced.
You ever heard of that, Josh?
No.
All that
Josh
got
and
replaced,
I are mechanics, and we haven't heard of that.
And 3 weeks of rental car, all I just paid $100.
Dude, that's a good
deal. That was my deductible.
That's really good.
I had to replace
it. By the way, are you guys enjoying the outdoor ambiance here?
I really am.
We're out on the dock at Roadrunner, by the way, with water all around us on 364 sides. And
We are on the finger, as they call it, at Roadrunner, looking up at a sky.
Is that what they call it?
Stars.
They call it a finger?
This is the finger. Yeah.
Really?
The finger dock.
Yeah. Finger dock.
Why do you call it? Oh, because that, like, the hand and it's going like...
because
this,
it looks like it's flipping you off.
It's like this, dude. It's like, you know,
okay, I get it.
Like that. Yeah.
Right. Very good. Oh, yeah. Well, this is the index finger, not the flipping
off.
Yeah,
but I mean, look at this. This is something that you can't even appreciate.
It's beautiful.
I was in Seattle for a week, And I can never see the stars like this.
Can we just all say together, Seattle.
Let's all... Dude, Seattle's beautiful. The whole week I was there,
I love Seattle. No rain.
In the last 24 hours, 5.4 inches.
Yeah.
Snoqualmie Falls, which I don't know if you guys visited that when you were up there.
What?
Snoqualmie Falls.
I don't know
what
you just called me, but I don't like it.
You are such a Snoqualmie.
Please don't. Yeah.
Snoqualmie Falls, which is usually just...
Say it again, Josh.
Snoqualmie. That's the correct pronunciation.
Okay.
Snoqualmie Falls. This place is usually, you know, your typical, oh, cool, waterfall. If we had time, I would show you the video of this. It's crazy how much water is coming up over the waterfalls. It's like, it's risking to wash away a home that's 150 feet above the usual water line.
Wow.
That's how high the water has become.
But I'm just glad you can say the name.
Which is why I don't live in Seattle.
Which is, well, I love rain, so I just bring that on as long as it's not washing me
away. I couldn't love rain that much to where I have it 6 or 7 months out of the year.
Hell no. Let me tell you a story about rain. I was born.
Yeah, he knows.
I was born in Ireland. Every year you get like 100 inches of rain or something on your head, and I've had enough of it, and I'm done. And so now I'm here, and I'm enjoying very much the small amount of rain that we do get and the abundance of sunshine.
Let me tell you a little something about drought.
Yes.
Which is where
it's
we
fun,
live.
Ain't it?
Which is where we live.
We live in a region that for my entire lifetime I have lived amongst drought conditions. A majority of my life has been in drought conditions.
Yes.
That takes its toll.
But you wouldn't know that being that you're on the river.
Look at all the water we have.
We have water. Thank you, Rocky Mountains, for this.
Yes.
But as far as us producing any runoff to contribute to this, it doesn't happen.
That's not our job.
It's not our job. We just take from the river.
It's not our job.
We don't give.
I learned about it on the interwebs.
The interwebs.
This is another reason why I don't live in California.
I learned all about it on the interwebs. Hey, speaking of interwebs, I've been hard on Suddenlink over the years. For just being...
You know, I've never had a problem with Suddenlink.
Really? Because I've always called it like Sometimes Link.
Yeah.
Or like Shitty
Sudden
Link.
Sudden Stink.
Heard. Yeah, right. People hate it. But I got to tell you, those guys over the past number of months have put in over $250,000 new dollars in the Parker area in infrastructure, and it shows. My internet now at the house, I get 100 megabit per second down, and like... 10 or 12 up, but it's solid now. Like,
how is Randy Hartless doing? Because he's always complaining about how slow
his
internet is.
He's very vocal on Facebook. Yeah.
I think he's okay with Suddenlink now. I think everyone who's...
He just posted today, earlier today, about how bad Suddenlink...
All I'm saying is I got to give it credit where credit's due. They've been putting a bunch of infrastructure in, and that's always been the problem. Why does the internet, you know, in a smaller area suck worse than the city? It's just because of infrastructure. That's it. Yeah. So, you know, they improve that.
It's
really good.
I can complain. It's when I don't pay my bill and they shut it off.
That's horrible. How dare they?
I hate that, dude. It's so ridiculous, dude.
So another thing that happened along this river since the last time we did a live cast is a gentleman from Corona, California by the name of Bob Garland, who is evidently the son of a realtor called Bob Garland, a very well-known realtor in Corona called Bob Garland. He allegedly spray-painted Idiot Rock with the words Idiot Rock, took a picture of himself doing it, or someone with him took a picture of him doing it, and proudly posted it to his Facebook page. And he later admitted to it, or at least someone calling himself Bob Garland admitted to it on Parker Live and apologized for it and said, here's the story why I did it. And the story why I did it, if it were true, it's not all... Well, it's still pretty lame, but it's not all that lame like you...
It doesn't justify it.
No, it definitely doesn't. But it would explain why he thought to do it, which is, he says he was the one that christened it Idiot Rock, like back in the 1970s, and he did it by spray-painting it Idiot Rock back then, because he saw people jumping off it, and he thought it was an idiotic place to jump off. Mm-hmm. So he claims he's the one that did it. Now, other people are taking exception to this, and they've gone on Parker Live, and they've said things like, you douche, this is not...
It looks like you signed it with his name.
Yeah, like, this was not, you know, it wasn't you, this is all... You stop taking credit for stuff you didn't do, and all of this sort of stuff. Well, the latest on that is, because of all the bad publicity about it, because of all the bad publicity about it, the sheriff's office did want to follow up, right, with old Bob Garland, and said, okay, here's what we're going to do. If Bob comes forward, apparently Bob got in touch with the sheriff's office somehow, or they got in touch with him. If you come forward, you know, next time you're here or whatever, just come in. We'll talk about this and see what to do next. It'll probably be a fine or something to cover the cost of cleaning it off.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, the sheriff's office said they would do that, and they have to look for a company that can do it in a non-polluting way. So they've got to, like, I don't know what they do, or what do they use like, I'm not sure what they
I'm
do.
I'm sure they probably use some sort of environmentally safe chemical.
You get a freaking, like, grinder, dude, and just, you know, you just...
Yeah, but maybe that's what they do, yeah.
Grind that off, dude.
But so there's a company that specializes...
I don't really mark it up, but,
yeah, I think that's what they want to avoid, you know?
So the company specializes in it, so they were like, okay, you know, we'll get these guys, and then he'll have to pay for it
I think
is good, too. Let me ask you guys, would you be okay if he said, I mean, you guys weren't the ones that were really mad at him anyway, but if he were to say, okay, I'm sorry, which he already said, and I will pay for this to be fixed, mm-hmm. that's all he needs to do, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then you're good with Bob Garland?
No, I don't think he
needs to be publicly hanged.
If he pays for it to get cleaned up and he apologizes publicly, then I think it's going to be... Then we're good.
I think, and I'm going to put this out there, that the best place, and I've spoken to the sheriff's office, and they would be good with this. I think the best place for him to apologize is right here on the Parker Livecast in a future edition, episode.
I think so.
So, Bob,
I like that.
If you're listening, this is our call. Come forward, pay your dues, and get on the podcast, and we'll help you apologize to people.
We'll come to you.
We'll come to you in Corona.
We could do, if he was here, we could do a live cast from Idiot Rock.
That'd be quite good, and then we could push him off it. Okay.
Retrieve his body because he apologized.
We would forgive you, Bob.
Yeah, we would.
Don't worry.
He needs to pay for it and then apologize.
Also, I got to tell you, I'm not a huge fan of mob rule, mob justice.
No.
Because I got to tell you, it's a little bit ugly when there's like 100 people all yelling at one person. You know, I think it's okay. I mean, I think people are entitled to share their opinion. I think that was all good. But there is a time to go to accept a yes for an answer, to accept an apology for an answer. Yeah. Yeah. One of the big conversations a year ago, I noticed on the live cast a year ago, was the monsoon season last year was really huge, and we were all talking about it.
Because we've had one.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
we haven't had one, right?
Well, it's, you know, really weird.
There was some in July, like early July.
There was,
yeah,
but
it wasn't that bad last year. Last year, we didn't have power for like 6 hours.
Yeah, you remember that?
The car bridge was completely, you know, flooded. And,
yeah, right. Remember uh-huh. Riverside Drive was completely flooded in town? Yeah.
That's why we were up in San Bernardino.
Yeah, we were at Crestline. Yeah. Came down from Crestline.
I'm gonna get another beer. I'll be right back. Keep talking.
Okay. I love Roadrunner.
Roadrunner's great.
By the way, I want to mention we have lots of great sponsors on this page on ParkerLiveOnline.com. Roadrunner is one of them, and they're really, really good. And we thank Roadrunner for allowing us to be here and hang out and record this week. But they're a good sponsor on Parker Live. We got some other really good ones up there, so check them all out and please visit them. They're helping bring this content to you.
A lot of good times at Roadrunner.
A lot of really good times.
This weekend will be no exception. Labor Day weekend. It's always a huge weekend up here, of course, because people... We know here that it's... Honestly, Labor Day weekend, it's a huge weekend, but it's not the last weekend.
Right.
But for a lot of people who come, this might be their last weekend they're able to come and, you know, get off of work and take 4 days, 5 days to come spend some time at the river.
Right,
so make it worth your while. Come on over to Roadrunner. And be safe, of course.
You're going to be here, right?
I'll be here. I'll be here Friday night, Saturday, Saturday night,
Is it the
Sunday,
kind
Sunday
of weekend
night.
Where there's stuff like wet t-shirt contests or no? Yes?
Well, if the crowd, if that's there.
If it's the vibe.
Yeah, we've noticed.
It's Labor Day. Of course it's going to be the vibe. It's going to be
But I tell you what, interestingly enough, for the July weekend, no wet t-shirt contests.
So really?
The culture's changing a lot. It's changing
because...
Well,
what's going on? Why did they not want to see boobies?
Well, it's not that you don't want to see them. It's just we live in a social media heavy world where somebody could be filming on camera, and what turned out to be just, you know, you're just trying to have fun for the weekend. You're getting up there, wet t-shirt. It's kind of part of the culture. You're getting up there. You win a few $100.
Right.
Next thing you know, you got your video flashing on Facebook, and you put your entire
you're really
life
selling
back
it.
Home. No, I mean, this is the danger. This is what it's done to the culture.
No, I understand. So, yeah, and you know me, I usually am a big fan of technology. On this, I think technology is screwing us over.
It is. You know?
Right.
So there's that. There was a couple young ladies, this was like 2 years ago, and we were trying to talk them into doing it.
Right.
because you know the better the crop, the better the show. So they said we're trying to be teachers. We graduate in a year. We're not going to do this and then have our stuff on online.
Right.
Good point. I don't blame you.
Yeah,
you know, get one of these other gals that are looking to marry some older guy with a boat. You know,
seriously,
get one of them. The other come out here. It was like, hey, you don't have anything to lose. Just get up there, and that's usually who does it.
Right.
You know,
wow.
not to label people.
Not to label people.
But anyone, I mean, there's a certain individual that comes to the river looking for that.
You know, speaking
I see
of
them all the time.
Speaking of culture and being different. Today, I went to Crossroads, and I could have sworn it was like a dove hunt in Crossroads with all the people.
Oh, dove hunt season.
Yeah, it's all like...
Started 2 days ago.
I look around, and it's just like a whole restaurant full of camo gear, So dove hunting started when? Yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
2 days ago?
Two days ago.
You notice how I changed to
And I heard the shotgun blast from my house.
Really?
Yeah, across the river.
You notice how I changed from speaking normally to speaking like dove hunting?
Yeah.
You just kind of are you trying to sound more manly now?
I think so.
You start pronouncing the G and those
Yeah,
words.
Right. Yeah, you don't... Yeah. Because it sounds weird for me to go, there were a lot of dove hunters.
Yes, they were dove hunting.
They were dove hunting.
How like goes the hunting, young men?
Yes.
How's the hunting?
You enjoying your eggs, Benedict?
Wait, eggs Benedict?
They're probably not eating eggs
no,
Benedict.
No, dude.
What are they eating?
Biscuit and gravy.
Yeah,
bacon. Bacon and sausage.
What kind of...
Yeah, like, where are you hunting?
We don't eat no... spinach and avocado.
I'm gonna go down to the club and go shoot for foxes.
Excuse me, boy. Is that balsamic vinegar I see on your plate?
You eating raspberry vinaigrette with that salad?
Come on, John.
What the f***?
Blend in a little, bro.
I'm very offended. You guys are really doing some cliche shit here regarding these dove hunters. I'm sure there's a lot of very offended listeners.
If you are a dove hunter who eats Eggs Benedict the morning of
please,
a hunt...
Please call us
please
and let us,
us
know that you exist because these clearly do not believe that you exist.
Yes.
Wow.
Geez. No, but yeah, it started. I know a lot of people, a lot of my friends on Facebook are posting about going hunting.
I feel honestly I see that and I'm like, am I missing out on something?
I know, here? I've lived
here my entire life for
I've
the most part.
Hunting.
I have never
That's
gone
not true.
Dove hunting.
I've gone quail hunting with my friend Garrick. Mm-hmm. He took me quail hunting and
Garrick
that was fun.
That. Yeah.
First time I ever shot a shotgun.
Like I own guns and I go and shoot them,
oh, yeah.
but I don't go hunting with
I've
them.
Never
you
been
know what I mean?
Hunting, dude. Never.
Which is more,
I
think,
hunt for the ladies, but that's, you know.
Which is more of a par. How's that going?
They're always in season, John.
Is Erica single?
No, Erica is married with.
She won't
two
be
kids.
After tonight.
What she sees
no.
the Josh
she
machine.
Is, she is very much taken. Her,
very taken, huh?
Her husband Kyle Jones.
Mm. Okay, very
well.
Nice.
Nice guy.
Very nice. Yeah,
yeah very
that's
nice
okay.
Guy.
I'm just asking. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
We'll have to take all this off.
You're cutting this out, right? I hope you're cutting this out.
Tonight's live cast is going to be 20 minutes long.
Yeah.
Only.
Well, it's good to be out here with you boys.
It is. You know, it's a little humid, though. Let's be honest. Are you feeling that?
Wait, I'm going to jump in, I think.
Are you going to jump in?
I think so.
I think John said he was going to jump in.
I think I'm going to jump in.
Yeah. Well, go ahead, dude. I'm not going to.
Yeah. Why not?
I don't want to hop in my car wet.
Well, he's got the Jeep.
I'm in my Jeep, yeah.
Oh, well, geez, yeah, go for it, man.
Okay, so...
He's tired from liquor.
September 19th, the 3rd Annual Southwest Nautique Regatta and Wakeboard Competition,
yeah.
which is, I believe
World
is at...
World Championships.
Right, which I believe is at Blue Water, right?
Blue Water Resort and Casino.
Parker Fire Department Annual Barbecue and Auction, that's on September 19th as well.
Yeah. I'll be emceeing that.
The crit stuff is coming up. The Miss Crit Pageant is September 22nd and September 23rd. Mm-hmm. The Centurion World Wake Surfing Championships are the 24th to the 26th of September. Native Visions Film Festival premiere, the marking of a milestone film, who some people have put together, I'm not sure who, Friday, September 25th, 2015. Maybe we should talk about that, actually. So we were approached months and months ago to make a film for Crit.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we do sometimes, so they wanted us to do to mark the 150th year of the reservation.
We might not do it well, but we do it.
We do it.
You do it.
Or you can judge how well we do it. Just go to the Native Vision Film Festival. It's September 25th, Friday night. I'm actually thinking people are going to like it, and they're preparing for a crowd because they're going to have, like, I think two or three screens open
for
that.
I want VIP seats.
Do you think we'll get that?
Probably not.
Well, you were the sound designer. You should get us.
Well, you're the director, and we're probably going to sit behind.
We're probably probably going to sit, like, on the floor.
Or we're probably going to end up selling popcorn.
Yeah, anyway, you can join us for that. But, it's, you know, I'll tell you this. If you have any interest at all in the history of how the Indians that live on this river here in Parker got here, and you want to know how that happened, you want to know about their tribes, the Mojave, the Chimaweve, the Hopi, the Navajo, you want to know about that, and how they got here, and, like, what they've been doing for 150 years, and what's important to them in terms of tradition and culture and all that, watch this film, because I wouldn't...
In-depth look.
Yeah, and I wouldn't have known a lot of this stuff before we made it in this film. We started interviewing for it, so I think it is worthwhile. So come to that. It's September 25th. The next day, Saturday, September 26th, is the 5th annual Fry Bread Contest at Blue Water Cinemas, and that's right down there in front of the movie theater the next morning, and I think it's like at 10 a.m. or something like that. And then Crit Native American Days Fair and Expo is the week after that, and then all of that is
going on. Good time of year, because it starts cooling down. The nights are nice. They're really nice.
It's really good.
The powwow, if you really want to take a look at some culture.
Like, they haven't lost any of that spirit. And when they go there, they're singing songs that they've sung since what they say is time immemorial. Like, they've been singing them so long they can't even remember. Yeah. So it's very, very, very cool. And then the week after that is the Desert Challenge, Blue Water Desert Challenge. Best in the Desert comes here for sort of restarting off-road racing season. So it's a good time of year.
Yeah, it picks up. Things really definitely pick up on the weekends. The temperatures do lower,
yeah,
but the river's still inviting.
It's very inviting. It's so inviting I might
jump in.
You gonna
jump in?
Jump
in, dude. I'll hold this.
All right, you hold up.
You jump in.
All right, Johnny boy.
Oh! Ooh.
Yeah. It's gotta be cold.
You better come up.
John? Woo!
John? Oh, there he is. There you go. How's it feel, buddy?
Beautiful!
Yeah? Very nice.
Stay in.
So there goes John. I'll see you in Mexico.
All right, later.
He missed the dock.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, so for John Wright, I'm Josh Savino.
I'm Joaquin Vences.
And that is this week's Parker Livecast. Travel safe, my friends. Have a very happy Labor Day weekend.
Labor Day!